We'll look at some verses in this chapter this evening, and I hope you listen carefully. I think this is all of God's Word is important, but this is a very important thing tonight that John is going to speak to us about in these verses. 1 John chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 18. Little children, it is the last time, and you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. Lord, tonight we thank you for the opportunity that we have to have your word tonight, Lord. What a great opportunity and privilege it is that you preserved your word down through these years for us this evening. And we certainly sometimes, Lord, never thank you enough for what you did in simply allowing us tonight the privilege of having your word, your revelation to us. And Father, tonight as you speak to us from your word and as the Holy Spirit delves into our heart, we pray tonight, Lord, that it might be used for Jesus Christ, for him tonight to be lifted up and exalted and glorified. And Father, this evening we pray for our hearers that we'll listen to your message tonight from the Holy Spirit as you've recorded it here. And for all that you do this evening, Lord, we lift you up in your word and your son, and we pray in his lovely name. Amen. And amen. One day a mother came home from visiting over at the neighbor's, and as she was looking for her children, she walked out on the back porch, and there all five of them were out in the yard playing with a bunch of little skunks. And it scared her so bad that she yelled, "Y'all get in the house right now." And each one of them grabbed a skunk and run in the house with it. I started to entitle this tonight, "What's That Smell?" Because you see, that's what John's going to talk to us about tonight, about heresy, about apostasy, about false teachers and false preachers and false witnesses this evening. He's going to talk in these two verses that I've read and some of the verses following this evening about departing from the truth of the Word of God. He's talking about those that Jude said have crept in. They've snuck in. And they've came in unawares. And they've abandoned the doctrines of God's Word. And went in a different direction this evening. Jude said they even turned the grace of God into lasciviousness tonight. John here in our text tonight is going to defend the doctrine of truth. One of the great things we need to do in our society today, one of the great needs of our hour, is to make sure that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to stand up for the truth and defend the truth. As Jude wrote his epistle and he said, "Contend for the faith." That means we're to defend to the faith. We are to defend those great doctrines that are revealed to us in God's holy word. Many times today, the word doctrine, some people say we don't need doctrine. Well, I think you do tonight, because God's included it into his word tonight. And doctrine simply means a body of instruction. And tonight it talks here about the truth that we find in God's holy word. We don't find that anywhere else tonight. We find the truth in the word of God. And so John is going to defend the doctrine of truth and warn against false teachers, false witnesses, and false preachers this evening. Verse number 18, he says, "Little children, it is the last time." He's talking here about the last time, and We could even say that John said that it's the last hour. We're living in those last days. We're still living in them this evening. Many people have problems with that, but the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is imminent. That doesn't mean tonight that it's going to happen tomorrow, but it means that it could. Someone said, when is Jesus coming? When you think not. But John said, it's the last time, the last hour. And he said, ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Now, John is the only biblical writer to use that particular term, Antichrist. And we know tonight that there is an Antichrist as revealed to us in the book of the Revelation tonight, who is going to come and become the object of worship during the time of Jacob's trouble, during the time of the tribulation that shall come upon this world. He's going to be a superman in many different aspects and charismatic and flattery and so many things we could talk about him tonight, but that's not what John is speaking about here. He's speaking and assuring them that Antichrist is going to come, that the man of sin will be revealed, that the apostate of the ages is one day going to appear upon this earth. And certainly that individual is coming tonight. Many people through the ages have tried to figure out who he is. I do not know who the Antichrist is. There are some things in the Scripture tonight that are revealed about him, but I cannot tell you who he is this evening. We know in Revelation chapter number 13, it there refers to the number 666, and for many years people have thought that he would have six letters in each of his names. I remember many years ago when Dr. Adrian Rogers was alive and he was preaching on television, and someone asked him, did he believe that Ronald Wilson Reagan was the Antichrist because he had six letters in each of his name? And he said, what bothers me more than that is somebody might think it's Adrian Pierce Rogers. I do not know who the Antichrist is this evening. There are some things revealed about him tonight, and we might look at that sometime. But John said this Antichrist is coming. But he said, I want you to understand this. Even now, there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. He said many Antichrists. What he's saying tonight, and listen carefully, there's going to be a cycle of false teaching and heresy. A cycle which we can find tonight goes over and over and over throughout the history of the church. It started even when the church was formed, and you can go back in the book of Acts and begin to read about the early days of the church and find that even then, false teaching and preaching was beginning to creep in. Jude, as I said, warned about it in his epistle. Paul warned the Ephesian elders that there would come those who were wolves in sheep's clothing. We read about those who, Paul said in the book of Galatians, were preaching another gospel. Over and over, this cycle has been there. Paul told Timothy that the one thing he could be assured of, that seducers and evil men would wax worse and worse. That is, these antichrists are going to continue, and they'll be with us forever. And the word antichrist literally means tonight, not only against. We usually think when we think about anti as being against something, but it literally means to in place of or to replace. And these false teachers and false preachers and false witnesses tonight become those who come in and begin to replace. They want to replace Jesus tonight. They may bring his name up occasionally, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. We've replaced Jesus in many of our pulpits and many of our churches tonight with so many other things. I so enjoyed that song a moment ago, "Christ receiveth sinful men." Make the message clear and plain. Jesus tonight is often replaced in our pulpits and in our churches tonight, and you can go into many churches and many worship services, so-called, this evening and never hear Jesus mentioned. They replace the Bible. The Bible has no place in their life, and it has no place in their preaching and in their teaching tonight. Well, they may take one or two little verses out of context tonight and use it to build some kind of false message. But the Bible tonight is being replaced. And they use so many other things tonight instead of the Bible. They even replace salvation tonight. Salvation is not being saved from your sins this evening. It's not being freed and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Not tonight that, but it's something else. You see, they use the right terminology many times, but they always have a different meaning. You know, you think about, they talk about evangelism, but most of the time they're talking about social work. They're talking about building a house. They're talking about giving clothing. They're talking about making living conditions better, drilling for water. And I'm not against all of those things tonight. Please don't misunderstand me. But the Bible speaks of evangelism tonight as one simple thing tonight, and that's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're to do. You see, they even want to change the purpose of the church. The church is no longer the bride of Christ and the body of Christ. It no longer belongs to him, it belongs to them. What is the purpose of the church? Why do we have church? I think we have church tonight. One thing is to worship. To worship. I'm talking about real worship tonight. Real worship. Sometimes I wonder if I even know what it is. But I'm kind of like the Supreme Court Justice with obscenity. He said he didn't know how to define it, but he sure knowed it when he seen it. Well, I've about decided I might not know everything about real worship, but I know what it ain't tonight. I want to be honest with you tonight. Some of this hip-shaking disco mess is not real worship of God tonight. You know, like two dogs passed by a church and they were having that kind of going on. The dog looked at the other dog and said, "We acted like that, they'd worm us." I want to tell you, worshiping the Lord of glory takes a lot more than hand clapping and hip shaking and disco lights blaring and all of that other stuff tonight. When you're worshiping the God of glory, you're standing in awe of him tonight. You're in his presence. You know, I've about decided that we need to be real aware of what his presence entails tonight. When Moses came upon the burning bush, God said, "You're standing on holy ground." You know, we come in the presence of God. We're standing on holy ground tonight. Right. We're there tonight to worship him and be thankful to him and appreciate him and to glorify him. Amen. And to be appreciative of what he's done for us. I'm not there to entertain him. He doesn't need entertaining. We're there to worship. people want to change the purpose of the church tonight. Instead of worshiping God, we want to entertain those sitting in the pews. We want to go in a different direction tonight, because that's not, and so we'll just change the purpose of the church tonight. We'll change the worship, and now instead of coming before God and worshiping Him, and lifting Him up and glorifying Him and standing in His holy presence. You know, when you come in the holy presence of God, I'm going to tell you, that's a little bit scary when you begin to think about it tonight. I remember when they came to take Him in the garden the night before His crucifixion. When He said, when He told them He was Jesus, well, they all fell backwards. I'm going to tell you, you come in the presence of God, it's a scary thing. Isaiah, he said, boy, when he come in God's presence, Isaiah 6, he said, woe is me. He said, he started out saying, you know, I got a bunch of folks with unclean lips, and he said, woe is me, I'm unclean lips too. We don't change the purpose tonight, but I'm seeing that changed around and around this evening. To preach the gospel, that's the purpose of the church. You see, we're to change men. The gospel tonight is to be preached that men might be changed, might be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, that they might pass from death unto life, that they might become new creatures in Christ Jesus. But now we decide, hey, we need to do what people want. We need to find out what it'll take for people to come to our church and take a survey and see what they want, then we'll do that. And they call that sometimes seeker-friendly. And so we'll come to your church, but you don't do this and you do that, and we don't want a long sermon, and we don't want this and we don't want that, and if you hadn't got all of this, we're just not going to come. I want to tell you, the purpose of the church tonight is to preach the gospel so that men might be changed, not that somebody might change God, because you can't change Him. You see, that's what these antichrists were doing, and it's a cycle that you find throughout the Scripture tonight. You find throughout church history. And John says, they went out from us. They break away. They insist that they're the real, and we're just old fogies. You know? We're the old fogies tonight. Somebody says we have an antiquated Bible. Many times they laugh at the King James Word of God. And you're just antiquated. You don't have the right kind of education. You don't know how to pronounce all the words. You're just an old fogey. We're the new wave. We know what it takes. They went out from us. No labels. We don't want to be labeled. And we don't want to be Baptists anymore. I'm a Baptist. Amen. Top of my head, the bottom of my feet. I'm Baptist. And I'm seeing so many of what they want to call Baptist churches. We don't want to be a Baptist church anymore. That might offend somebody. Well, bless God, if it offends them, it'll just have to offend them. That's all I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not setting out to offend anybody. But we're not Rocky Springs Gospel Fellowship, Word of Life, Pentecostal Assembly, United Methodist. We're Rocky Springs Baptist Church. Baptist. We say so much of this. We don't want to have any labels. Sometimes we don't even want to be called Christians. We're just us. I see so much of this. We're not going to be bound by any tradition. Now, I understand some traditions are, I don't necessarily say bad, but some things, you know, you don't have to follow. I'm not talking about man-made traditions that Jesus talked about, but there's one verse of Scripture I want to read to you, found in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 3. I'll get there in just a minute, okay? Verse 6, I'll get there. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which is received for us. You see, there are some things that Paul said were tradition, some things that Paul taught them. And that's what I'm talking about here tonight. People say, we're not going to be bound by that old stuff. We're going to do it my way. I'm going to change all of that. I want to tell you, I'm glad for the old paths tonight. That's what they are. They went out from us. You see, heresy tonight is among us everywhere. Takes many forms and fashions this evening. We must beware. We must beware. We must be careful. We must be diligent. You drive up into a yard and there's a big sign there that says, "Beware of dog." You're going to be very careful, aren't you? You're going to be very diligent. You're going to look every direction. You're going to beware. I'm going to tell you tonight, we better beware, because this stuff is infiltrating and coming into our churches every day. More and more and more this evening. And see, that's one thing that in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, as he wrote those Ephesians Christians, and he has given them a lot of instructions. But in chapter number 4, in verse 11, he said, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. As here describing what the Lord did, he gives certain gifts, certain things unto people. And he did it for a specific reason, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto a measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. Now listen to verse number 14. Paul wants to sum it up, the reason that this is done. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Paul saying that we better be careful, and that God has given true folks into the church tonight that need to be listened to. And he's given them there for that very purpose tonight, that the saints might be matured, that they might do the work of the ministry, that they might edify, and primarily so that people won't be tossed to and fro with every time something new fad comes along, they want to go follow it. John is saying to us here tonight, we better be careful. We better beware. False doctrine has already invaded the church. And it's there tonight, and we better be careful and stay away from it. Verse number 20, he says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, John's not saying there that we know everything. We're not a bunch of know-it-alls. But what he's saying here, that we have the unction from the Holy Spirit. We have something inside us tonight that tells us what's true and what's not true. If you're a child of God, you know that. You may not always know the why, but you always know the truth. I want to close with this. One time a man was a missionary out west to one of the Indian nations, and there he had assembled a small church of Indians who had been converted to Christ, and on occasion he had to come back east, and he brought one of those Indian Christians with him. And as they were walking up the street, there was a man preaching, and he was preaching false doctrine and false heresy. And he was going to walk on by, but he looked, and the Indian stopped and was listening very intently. So he walked on around the corner and sat down, and he was worried that this man was going to draw this man away from the Lord. A while the Indian came around, and he said, well, what did you think about him? He said, lots of thunder, no rain. There's something inside tonight that'll tell us. That's what the unction of the Holy Spirit is tonight.
Right.
I don't know exactly how to explain it, but I just know it's there. Heresies in our churches is going to be there. It's going to get worse and worse as times go on. But thank God tonight, Antichrist is coming, but I want to tell you something else. Christ is coming too. Hallelujah.
Amen,
amen tonight. All right. Brother Bruce, you and Barbara would come and stand together with me for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. I ask you to take this very simple message. Use it tonight for the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. In Jesus' sweet name I pray.